All slashers all summer long, Wolves.
Yeah.
How y'all doing? So, yeah, this is the special to-be edition, to be or not to be, of the Cruel Summer Slashback, Uncle Bill. These are two films that one of them is a to-be original, and that almost from the get-go means that you're doomed.
That's very true. Like, I've heard of both of these movies, but I don't think that if had we not done this show, I would ever watch them, because you can just kind of tell, like, oh, shit, like when you see the trailers and stuff, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, you almost look forward to the commercials on the Tubi originals.
Yeah, I got to see Shaq take some sort of GLP-1 shit about 15 different times through one of these.
Yeah.
So
nice. We want to get to The Mutilator 2 and Slaughterhouse 2 Death Metal here in a little bit. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a whole lot of what the fuck moments in both of those movies. And I can't wait to talk about it. I'm actually excited to talk about it. So, one thing, though, before we get started, Uncle Bill, it was a monumental point in his life was this past weekend, and I wanted to bring it up because we had the fast food restaurant thing, which is a very pop, 3,500 views already on it. It's pretty good for a live stream.
Yeah.
And then you finally got to experience Bucky's. In person.
Right. So, yeah, we went to Cincinnati to watch a Bob Dylan concert, and which was actually pretty unique in and of itself.
Where did he play in Cincinnati? Where was it at?
It was a place like around Riverbend, but it wasn't Riverbend. It was like a small concert venue that held about 5,000 people, like right around that. The bigger one there. It was called the PNC Pavilion. So, just talk about that real quick though. Like, I didn't know who any of the openers were or anything like that, but I mean, I literally didn't know who they were till we got there. And the first guy gets up on stage and he starts playing and stuff. And I'm like, this guy fucking looks familiar, man. And I'm like, who is this? Like, I know I've seen this guy before. Turns out it was, John Doe, who is like one of the co-founders of the band called X, which is like one of my favorite punk bands, but he's doing like a folk style, you know, thing.
He was an actor as well, too. I think he was in.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he still basically looks the same. Then they did Lucinda Williams played, who I'd never really heard of, but she was fine.
That's Hank that was Hank Jr.'s daughter. You know, she's actually really, really good.
That's Hank Jr.'s daughter. I didn't know that.
I think so. If it's the same one I'm thinking of, Lucinda Williams, I'm pretty sure. Somebody in the chat, let me know. Maybe it's not.
I'm not sure about that one, but like, I do know that her set was pretty decent. Then Dylan got up there and he sounded better live than he does like really on the records. The issue that I had with it is he didn't play anything that like, I mean, none of his hits, played none of them. And Piper told me that, you know, he plays like a bunch of his underground like hits or his like, you know, deep cuts on these tours, which I guess he's 85. He can play whatever the fuck he wants.
I must have been thinking of somebody. Lucinda Williams is too damn old to be Hank Jr.'s daughter. But
yeah, she's like 73, so
yeah, I don't know if Hank's even that old, but
I don't know how old Hank
Jr. does have a daughter that I don't think she does like music full time, but she did one album a few years ago that was fucking unreal. And then she kind of just, I don't know. I don't know if music is just not, he's not focused on it or what, but
no. Anyway, point being that we're coming back and like we were all kind of just like, we've got to stop at Bucky's because everybody keeps talking about Bucky's and yada, yada, yada. By the way, we had five guys. We had five guys while we were up there.
You have five guys on a regular basis, though.
Yeah. It was really, really good. Like, I was really impressed. It's only the second or third time I've ever had it. Went to Bucky's. Man, pulling into Bucky's, I was like, what in God's fucking name is going on here? It was like when you pull into Disney World. There was cars like coming. There's you know, the roundabouts and stuff. And there's cars coming like every direction into this place. And I was like pulling up on it thinking, is this? It's like this is it. Like, because there's nothing else there except this place. And for like probably a mile in either direction. And it's just like a beehive of people just coming into this fucking place. I was amazed. There had to be 1,000 people there, like pulling in for gas and going into the store and getting everything. And it was uncomfortable, really. It was like being at a fucking convention or something. Like, there were so many people in there.
On the weekends too, Bucky's is even, I mean, it's busy all the time. But on a Saturday, especially, that's probably the busiest day of the week for sure.
Yeah, I was just, but anyway, we got some of the, beef jerky. We got some of the beaver nuggets. We got, I don't know, Piper got some more stuff too, because she's the only one of us that's actually been there before. But the lines to get anything like fresh, I was like, there's no way I'm waiting there for like 30 minutes to get something like that.
Really? I've never had to wait on every time that I've been in there, they've had shit where you can just grab it.
Yeah, I mean, like around the places where you would get anything, like there were lines, like separate lines, like all the way through the store. So I'm like, I'm not doing that. But anyway, all the stuff we got was great. I was actually really impressed by it. Like the beef jerky was great, the beaver nuggets were great. I don't see me doing that a lot because like, I'm not the type of person that can stand, like not being able to walk through a store.
Let me tell you something though, that you should have gotten, you should have waited for, because that would guarantee that you would be coming to Bucky's every time you're near one, is those Texas cheesesteak burritos, man. I'm telling you, I swear by them. They're one of the best tasting things that I've ever eaten anywhere. You take a bite out of them, it's the cheesy and it's got the steak and the peppers. Just thinking about it right now makes me want one.
It's getting moist right now.
Very good. Very good. And the brisket sandwich. You like barbecue anyway, so the brisket sandwich is great. Barbecue pulled pork.
I will say this.
They have breakfast stuff. I've never tried the breakfast stuff because I've never been there around breakfast time.
No, I mean, they had everything in the world you could think of, like in terms of food. I was just kind of amazed by all of it because it's all these different stations, right? Some of them are doing like fresh jerky. Some of them are doing like, you know, the stuff like burritos and things like that. Some of them are doing desserts. It's kind of crazy, man. It's like being in a, what was that, one of those buffet kind of deals with a bunch of different like setup like that, like country kitchen buffet or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had to go to the bathroom. So I went into the bathroom and I was like, Jesus Christ, boys. Like, that's the nicest bathroom I think I've ever been in. And yeah. Like all the stalls that you would like, use the bathroom in are like their own thing. They're all like
their own door.
Yeah.
Enclosed area, right? You don't want no little kid peeping at you shitting or anything. It happens occasionally. That can't happen there. Right.
And like every,
what was like 30 different rooms in the bathroom that.
Yeah. Like every urinal too has its own like built in thing that goes around and stuff too. That's super nice. And like, there's probably 100 of those. I mean, I don't know how that works, but it works somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, whoever thought of that is some sort of marketing genius for a bunch of different reasons, but
you can get like a thermos size fountain drink too for like, I don't know, like $1.29 or something like that. Like the prices in there are very fair too, I think.
Texas
Yeah.
That's the thing we noticed about the merchandise too. Cause like you would think they could charge pretty much whatever they wanted at this point, but like the hats were $10. The shirts were like $12. Like all of the stuff was pretty reasonably priced.
But that's Bucky's. I'm glad you got to experience it, even though it was busier than hell. But anyway, we're going to get in the chat here. We'll get started with these movies, man. We do have a poll up as well that we'll check in with here in a minute. But Black Peter is in the house. He said, let's get it on, boys. It's summer. It's a slashback. And it's crappy sequel night on the pit. Baklava. Matter Pat is in the house too. Vanderhoff. Dino, Adam, welcome. William Blasco, what is going on? Yeah, catch the replay, man. It's just as good, I promise. And for anybody that's curious, the podcast versions of these shows are up every Friday on Apple Podcasts, whatever they call it now, and Spotify. And it's on Stitcher in the sky. That's the way I like to think of it. Stitcher's no longer around. That was the best app. They did away with it. It still affects me on a daily basis. I'm mad, but it's on in Stitcher Heaven. Spirit Crusher, Nubbins, Broken and Bleeding, Matthew Hara. What's going on, Matthew Hara? We're never doing Cropsy on the show. Mega Man, who picked up a couple of Dead Pit shirts this past weekend. Thank you, sir. This past week or so. Now we're going to talk about Pizzow, his acting debut in The Mutilator 2. He was far from the worst thing in the movie, I'll say that. Down is Up, Electric Progression, Movie Junkie again. Yeah, poor old Buddy Bacon, man. He was sorely missed. Ken Carlson, Nubbins, McHorror. Garrett's favorite, Justin Smith. So yeah, Nikki Goods, Movie Eddie, Kevin Dudley, baby. Daniel, welcome everyone and all to the Cruel Summer Slashback. It's our summer book club, baby. And we're going to go through, man, this was kind of like a wild idea that I threw by you thinking, oh, he probably don't want to do this. And then you're like, oh, fuck it. Let's do it. And I was like, oh God, we're going to watch. Well,
a part of me has always been curious about these movies, man. Like just that small part where you're like, okay, these were kind of classic, you know, slashers of that time period. Like, I wonder what these sequels would be like. That was my bad to think that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, both of these movies are kind of cult horror slasher movies. I wouldn't say that either one is well known. Would you? I mean, of the two, maybe Mutilator would be the more well known. But yeah, neither one of them.
You'd have to be like a really big horror fan to ever even heard of either one of these movies. But I'll tell you this, like the original Mutilator might be one of, if not my favorite, like regional slasher films. Because it looks so much like it's got that atmosphere of like where it's made, and so many different things, you know, are used in it that kind of connect to where it's made, that I've always really appreciated that movie and the soundtrack of that movie as well.
So first one you want to get into, we might as well start with, I think technically the Mutilator 2 came first. And when I heard they were doing this, I was like, really? And Buddy Cooper is coming back to direct. Buddy Cooper's a great guy. We interviewed him on the show back in the day. Very nice guy. Very fan friendly. We got stuff from him through the mail back in the day. So like, he's always been very pro Mutilator. You know, he's not one of those guys that is ashamed of the movie, and you'll get people nowadays that have found the Lord or whatever, which I never knew the Lord was missing, but it is what it is. But anyway, let's dive into it, because the Mutilator 2, some of the shit in this movie has to be seen to be believed, man. So they're still looking for Mike and Linda from the previous movie in this one. And pretty soon this movie starts, you realize this is a movie within a movie. So the Mutilator 2 is basically a lot of the cast from the original movie, some new blood or whatever, and they're making a remake to the original Mutilator. And they do bring some of the cast back in this. One guy they didn't bring back is the guy that played Big Ed. Which I can't remember what his real name was, but that's played by Terry Kaiser in this movie. I think that his role was shot over the span of maybe a day, and they edited everything around. And everybody else is just like locals from this area, right? You've got the director of that remake that looks like a clerk at Guitar Center, and he's like a total asshole to everybody, right? And soon there are, I mean, this is what, a legacy sequel maybe, because there are murders that happen in the theme of the original Mutilator film, right?
Yeah, very similar stuff.
And meanwhile, all this is going on, there's like a horror fan convention celebrating the Mutilator. And that's where Pizzo comes into play. His cameo, he has a couple of scenes with an actress that's pretty much, you know, I think that Buddy is such like a fan friendly guy that he was just inviting a bunch of the big Mutilator fans that he knew of to come down and shoot scenes in the movie, which I think is pretty cool. But
yeah,
dude, there's so much random. This movie was almost like, and I'm using the term movie very loosely here, a weekend project that he was kind of like having fun with. And it was almost like they tried to make it like a tongue in cheek comedy as well. There's a scene in this too, where I was like, well, this is like something from one of those 80s.
I know the scene that you're talking about, the guy with the head and everything.
Yeah. I guess it's the producer of the remake comes in there, and it's pretty much,
when I saw that, I was like, dude, what in the fuck? Like,
pretty much demanding a BJ from this young girl who's doing the makeup effects or something, right? And that, this doesn't fit in with anything else in the movie either. It's almost like, where did this come from? Mm-mm. So the girl gets a dummy head and puts glue around the mouth of the dummy head and starts fucking him with the head. Right. Until ultimately the glue gets stuck.
Like something from Police Academy or something.
Yeah. The glue gets stuck on his bird. And the running gag is throughout the rest of the movie,
he's walking around with his head stuck to his fucking crotch. That's the gag.
And he's got a trench coat on, and you can see the head sticking out.
So, okay, real quick though, about this to me is like freaking Shawshank compared to Slaughterhouse too, but like, listen.
It really is.
So here's a couple problems I had with this movie. I don't know if you noticed this, but I noticed it immediately because I was just like, no one has been killed in this movie for literally almost an hour. Like for the first 55 minutes of the movie, no one dies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a bunch of shit. I don't know. Just a bunch of stuff thrown together, like different scenes of
they random. They did try to do some creative death scenes at least. Like I'll give them, I mean, maybe not creative, but like graphic death scenes. Yeah, which
that's what I'm saying though. So for 55 minutes, nothing happens. And then like every scene after that is like a death scene. I don't know why they did it that way, but like the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes of the film is like just wall to wall people being killed. And it's actually pretty decent. Like the makeup effects, I mean, are pretty decent. Like, so they've got one where a guy, you know, he throws like a hook into another guy's eye and then pulls his eyeball out. And then
the girl there's a hanging or whatever where the girl's head actually just gets ripped off, and they show that. And one of the funniest death scenes too, where I'm like, how would that ever happen? I'm confused. Where like a stage light falls on a guy and it slices both of his fucking arms off. And he's just like sitting there like, oh, and it's like squirting everywhere and stuff.
There was a cool one too, where a woman's like tied to this pier. And there's all these barnacles and stuff on it, and they pull her up. But when they pull her up, these barnacles are like scraping her skin off.
Yeah.
So she gets to the top, and like half of her face is missing, like almost like Terrifier 2 or something.
I was saying, Stuntman Mark mentioned the director of the movie. He said he looked like Chris Jericho. I say he looked like a Guitar Center clerk. But they did have a couple of newer casts in this, but there was a lot of the older cast that they got back as well, which was interesting. And they're essentially playing themselves in the movie, because
yes,
they're there for the fan convention thing, which ultimately they're just outside this, I don't know where it is, like some sort of conference center or something, and just standing around drinking. And it seems like an unusually long amount of time is spent around that area there. So I'm wondering if they even had much of a script for this, or if it was just random gags that they were coming up with and putting together in this movie.
There's no way they had a script.
I don't think they did either.
You can just kind of tell by the way a lot of the things are kind of shot that there wasn't a lot of dialogue wasn't going on.
There's another death scene in this. It's fucking hilarious too, where the killer has a fishing pole. You know what I'm saying? And evidently he's really talented at this. So he hooks a dude's eyeball and just yanks it right out with the lure and the hook and everything. So I'm like, hell, that takes talent right there to do that first try.
So another thing too, did you notice like how many green screens there were for like locations and things like that, where you could tell like just people were just sitting in front of like a green screen that had like, you know, shit projected behind it. Where I was kind of like, yeah. I feel like that he had some really good ideas for like set pieces and gore effects. I just wish that somehow or another somebody would have given him more money, or somebody else would have directed or something, you know, because so much of the film is just spent just kind of aimlessly going around and characters talking to one another. It's kind of like what you see when, you know, you have to fill up a movie for 90 minutes and they don't know what to do. And so they just have like these random ass scenes. There's even a scene where a fucking guy is walking around with like a webcam on a, you know,
like a selfie stick.
And he's doing like a stream and shit of stuff about the mutilator. That goes on for like 20 minutes, man. They're like, they must just told that guy, like, listen, just keep talking about like this shit and
just run around with your selfie. Yeah. Selfie stick and run around and try to interview people or just annoy people, annoy the audience. That's what we want you to do. This movie though, man, and this is the thing about independent horror movies too. Like back in the early 80s when they made the first Mutilator movie, Buddy Cooper had to get a bunch of money together to even get started with this, just with equipment and whatever else. Nowadays, you can get a great camera to film a movie that looks like this for probably $1,000 or whatever or less. But the problem is the movie looks like a fucking YouTube video. Like it has, or like a Hallmark movie or something that they shoot in those extremely generic digital looking cameras that there's a couple of scenes in this too, where I think he uses like a drone to get wide shots and flying out and stuff.
Well, the drone is featured in the movie too. It's like,
and it looked to me, that looks like some sort of like Airbnb commercial or something, right? Showing off the property. It doesn't look like a movie. And both of these that we're talking about on here is this. I think Buddy Cooper's a very nice guy. His heart may be in the right place. I think that the comedy in this was awful, though. Like, my thing is, you can have like an awful horror movie and it still could be fun. It's so bad, it's good, right? Awful comedies just... it's like, just go away. I'm not, the whole Larry the Cable Guy style comedy in this movie just did not work for me, brother. But I thought the makeup effects and stuff for the budget of the rest of the movie, I thought that was decent. I was actually kind of surprised with some of the, gore gags and stuff that they had. The barnacle thing, where it basically shreds that girl's face off. Yeah.
There's another scene too that's pretty cool. Ultimately, it looks kind of like cheap, but it looks cool at the beginning of the setup, where a guy is like, he gets shot up the ass with like a harpoon gun or something, and it comes out his mouth. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and they pull it back out. That's good. That's like something we would have done for sure.
Yeah. But yeah.
The music. It's another.
It's another movie too. It's like, following that trend of like Scream related movies where they're like, everybody's commenting on the original Mutilator and they're wearing like Mutilator 2 shirts. And some people are wearing Mutilator shirts and they're, like everybody's talking about it. And it's all centered around this convention and this showing of the movie. And it's just so weird, man. Like, why pick that like to do? And it's mostly a comedy up until the very end. Like,
well, and there's not another thing about this. I'm not going to give it away, but ultimately this movie has a non-ending. There's not an ending to it.
Don't get me started on Terry Kaiser either. Jesus, man. What the fuck?
That's just the case where dude probably hasn't acted in so long and he forgot how. But yeah.
So he's in it randomly throughout the movie, probably 3 or 4 times, I would say. And Terry Kaiser is the guy from Weekend at Bernie's, like the dead guy, if anybody.
Friday the 13th, part 8 for horror fans. Yeah. Or no, wait, part 7.
But 7, yeah. And he's just in it, and like he'll be in there, and he'll just be talking to some of the other cast for a little bit, and then he's not back in it for 30 minutes. And then at one point he's like, I really loved killing this Big Ed and all this stuff, and like, you're talking about the movie, and like, it makes you want to do it more. And then at the very end of it, he shows up and he's just like, how would you explain that? He's lost his mind or something. And he's just like, you get the impression that he's been the killer, but they don't ever say anything. And I don't know.
Interesting thing though, is the actor that played Big Ed just recently passed away. Like I think earlier this year. So he makes a very brief cameo in this, but of course, I guess they wanted like a real actor I don't know if that old guy would have been able to pull this role off. I don't know if Terry Kaiser pulled it off either, to be honest with you. But yeah, he is briefly in it. I think in one of like the restaurant scenes in the background, they show him a couple of times. Something else too, when they have that, what was it, like the convention after party thing or whatever they're doing that's outside. The music was so goddamn generic in it too. And they kept playing the same little clip over and over again. And I pinpointed exactly what it reminded me of. Do you remember the music that they used to play on the TV Guide channel back in the day, like nonstop?
It's
exactly the same music, man. Like just generic elevator background music. And they used it throughout the entire. So, another thing we could talk about, the release on this. Did this have a physical release at all? Or is it, because I know we had talked about this movie before, got distribution theatrically from some tiny label, which it means it probably didn't even come out in the theater. But is this on DVD or Blu-ray or anything? Or is this just a Tubi only release?
I have no idea.
Somebody let us know in the chat. I didn't look it up.
I have a hard time imagining that this is on some sort of physical media, dude. I really do.
Yeah. And again, we said it's kind of a non-ending. Like, it tries too much to be a comedy. There is some creative death scenes in it. So there are aspects of it that actually is worth seeing. And honestly, Buddy Cooper hasn't done shit since the original Mutilator. So ultimately, like, hell, you know, he's not a professional filmmaker or anything. So I don't think you should feel too bad about it. But at the same time, was there anybody out there really clamoring for another Mutilator movie? And if there was, if there is an audience, I thought it would have been better if Buddy would have handed it off to somebody and he could be like the producer on it and kind of oversee some things. And it could have maybe had a slightly better overall movie and then use the gore and some of the gags and stuff that they ended up using in this movie.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, if he'd had any kind of budget and maybe a script and maybe given it to somebody else to direct, like, at least this movie got the gore scenes right, if nothing else. And I don't think it gets anything else right. The tone of the movie is insane. Just like goes from being a comedy to being super serious in like the last 20 minutes.
The song, there is like a instrumental version of the song in the movie. I do remember that, but I don't think it's very long, oddly enough. I think it's like a saxophone version or something.
The acting in this movie is awful. I have no idea where they got any of the people from it, but they don't seem to really know what's going on. And even like Terry Kaiser, like, he'll spend the majority, he'll say like one line and then be like staring off into space. I don't know if maybe he's questioning his life decisions or.
The Blu-ray is $15 on Amazon.
Oh, that's good.
Interesting. Is it a real Blu-ray or is it a Blu-ray R? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with a lot of these sequels. And it's like this one and even the next one's even more odd. That did they think the name was going to help it at this point? You know, 40 years after the fact, over 40 years later?
I don't know.
I don't know, but we do have the poll going and we'll check on it here for you guys. Which is the better slasher film? The Mutilator has 25%, Slaughterhouse 2 Death Metal has 8%, and I added an extra one tonight. I had to. Don't Watch Either Movie Ever has 68% of the votes.
Oh, listen. We've been talking about Mutilator and everything, man, but like I would rather watch Mutilator 2 like two or three times back to back than ever try to watch Slaughterhouse 2 again. That shit permanently scarred me, and not in a good way. God damn, gosh. I don't even know where to begin with that.
Well, both movies too kind of have a similar start, because like they start with the end scene of the original movie, kind of, right? And probably the most clever thing that Slaughterhouse 2 does, the best thing in the entire movie is, you know, at the end of Slaughterhouse, where you see Buddy is getting ready to get the Lizzie Borden character in the car at the end, right? So they kind of cut that and recreate a new ending and everything. And it does kind of blend in with the original. You know, it was all dark and on a rainy night and everything, so I guess it wasn't too awful. Where they explain, I guess, Buddy had perished in the car wreck and everything else, and then fast forward to present shitty Slaughterhouse 2 era.
Yeah. Fast forward to this nonsense. Yeah.
What's bad is this trailer is almost 4 minutes long, so we can go through
God. I can go through the whole fucking movie. I can go through the whole thing in 4 minutes.
Yeah,
for sure. Here's the ending of the original, which really only the one you need to see.
It's a pretty good ending, really, and to kind of leave it open, right? Buddy Bacon. Getting ready to get her.
And then, oh my God, that's her present day.
Yep, Sherry Lee is the actress's name. She returned. Look at that shit.
Listen, almost all of it, more drone shit, like this guy playing his fucking violin. So that's Buddy Bacon's brother, you come to find out. And then that's the brother's son who will take the place of like Buddy Bacon in this movie. And he starts making this wonder jerky, he calls it. And of course, it's made out of fucking human beings. And he's crazy and yada, yada, yada. And he loves Texas Chainsaw Massacre and whatever. So he finds this new recipe and they become, you know, kind of quasi famous for this. All the while.
Wonder jerky.
Yeah. All the while. The sheriff now is the woman from part one.
That boy's name's Rimjob.
Remington or something. This guy, I don't know who the hell this guy is. I forget.
I think he's the sheriff. He's like the sheriff or the mayor or something like that.
That piece of shit right there. Yeah. There's that guy.
He's wanting the property.
That's the way I look at this movie. Just a bunch of dudes. It's on camera. Ain't worth shit.
Or nothing's really going on most of the time. Oh, and there's like a hiking trail. And that's where the Bakers is what they originally call them. Come up with their wonder jerky. They make them out of hikers, out of humans.
And there, of course, is another guy that's a land developer who wants to get their property and make a golf course and all this stuff. And they don't want him to do it, which is basically the same as the first movie. There's drug mules that come onto the property that are basically just a reason to, you know, kill more people off.
There's
a death metal band. I don't know what the fuck this was about.
And that was just they were just kind of thrown in there. They just show up on the property and everybody's already there on the same property, and they just kind of show up. Rimjob loves death metal, so we're bringing this to give back to the city. All of her success with the Wonder Jerky. There's Rimjob.
Yep. And he's got these women tied up in this big bus and trying to torture them and yada, yada, yada. And it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, blah, 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 blah. By the way, this fucking guy, like,
I think this trailer is enough for people. Four-minute trailer on this damn thing. The acting in this is like some of the worst that I've ever seen in a movie, too.
It's like the people from Mutilator 2 should have won an Academy Award next to this shit. They really should have.
I mean, this makes George Bonilla look like fucking, I don't know, Robert De Niro.
Makes Tiffany Shepherds look like Meryl Streep, for real.
Yeah. And that's actually in the movie, by the way. I don't know why they did it like that, but that looks stupid.
Oh, he does have a flamethrower in this that he cooks meat with for some reason. And also,
get that sear.
The end scene with him getting caught on fire is one of the funniest damn things I've ever seen, man. Especially, it's like, the flames and stuff. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
They're like CG, not, like that text.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the very end where he's like in front of a pool or something, and he has, he's all burnt up like Freddy Krueger, and he actually has Freddy's voice in the end of it. Did you notice that? He's trying to talk like Freddy Krueger.
Yes, that's what he was doing.
Oh, man, oh, man. Slaughterhouse 2. The same director, Rick Roessler, who's another one of those guys that's a massive fan of his own work. And, dude.
He's a fucking millionaire or some shit, yeah. Yeah, and at the end of it, he becomes famous for that jerky or whatever, and then he's a millionaire, and he's sitting there like, nobody's going to watch these movies, so I'm just going to give away the ending. So, like, he's sitting there, he's all burned up and everything, and he's got, like, the worst looking, you know, practical burn shit on that you can imagine. It makes, like, the fucking Nightmare on Elm Street remake look like Rick Baker. And he's sitting there, and he's just like, you never know who the killer is. He tries to do, like, the Freddy voice.
It's the Freddy voice. This was, and both of these movies are, what, like 84, 85 minutes. They're not very long. This one felt like it was 3 or 4 hours long. Like, it was so, there was so much time that went by before anything at all remotely memorable happens in this. And the lead guy that plays, is it Clevon or whatever? Like, that's
Clevon.
Buddy's brother. He is, that old man was terrible. I don't know.
This was funny.
Yeah.
Because this is one of those situations where I feel like that dude could play the violin, and they knew that, and they were just like, all right, we'll just have him play the violin a bunch of different random ass places in this movie, and it'll be something unique.
For the fact that, yeah. He can't act.
So he's just playing this fucking violin, you know, which his violin playing is actually a lot better than his acting. He's just, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, well, for one thing, everybody in it sucks. It's not just him, like, in terms of like trying to do any kind of acting. It's another movie too, where they just have random people in random situations, just saying dialogue back and forth to each other that doesn't amount to a fucking hill of beans or doesn't progress the story. It's like there.
I don't know if this ever happens too, like, because I'm not, the only people that like to go hiking are people that are from fucking city. So they kill the hikers in this. There's this one scene where these two young, like, college age girls just get dropped off in the middle of the desert to go fucking hiking. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Okay. And like, you meet these girls within 2 minutes. It's literally 2 minutes. They take them out.
Well, which them taking them out is another big problem I have with the movie. Everything in it almost is done with like horrible visual effects. There's a scene where somebody gets their throat cut, and it's like, they go to cut the throat, and then like there's a visual effect of like blood squirting out that looks like, I'm fairly positive anybody could make it with AI right now better than that look.
Scratch Burno's missed. He mentions, yeah, there's a dude to get stabbed in the, yeah. And the line, I actually wrote the line down here that Clevon says, he says, you're not going to prison and neither is your pecker.
Yeah.
Stabbed him right in the Peter.
It's great stuff. Everything in it's CG almost, like the fire, the fucking death scenes, a lot of green screens.
The killer, the main killer in this, though, legit, they call him Rim Dog Bacon. what the fuck?
What's wrong with that? Anyway. You didn't like Rim Dog Bacon's?
This movie, I do know that it's a Tubi original. It debuted last November on Tubi, and it kind of went over like a turd in a punch bowl, man. I didn't hear anybody say a damn thing about it. People weren't appalled by it. You know why? Because nobody knows what the fuck Slaughterhouse is. I love the first movie, but nobody cares, man. Not every slasher movie from the '80s needs a fucking sequel. Like the name is not going to take you very far if it's like Slaughterhouse or something, right?
Listen. And
as much as I love Mad Men, it would be the exact same if they made another Mad Men movie. Not many people know what that is. The name's not going to get you anywhere.
I feel like even if you didn't know what it was, you could make a decent movie, you know, off of some of the ideas. It's just none of these people did that. They just, I'm not sure what they were doing, to be honest. Like, they were quickly trying to capitalize on a name, I guess. And like, there's no story to either one of these movies, and there's no, nothing progresses along. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're trying to watch a movie, then you're supposed to be watching the progression of something build up, you know, in the story. What happens in these movies is they just have random people that you don't know come on screen for like 5 minutes, talk to each other about shit you don't care about, and then leave and get killed. And then somebody else comes on, does the same thing. And that just happens for 90 minutes. And then you get the end. And at the end, the guy's like, I'm his brother. Fuck you. And like, he tried to explain all of it at the very end. And you don't give a shit.
No.
Care about none of it.
I mean, they're chasing money. I think Spirit Crushers had it. Like, and funny enough, because I was watching, Tubi also has the original Slaughterhouse on there. And there is like a special edition version that has like new credits on it. And I was telling you about this. I was going to put it up on here, but I almost positive we'd get immediately flagged because I think it's the band Mortuary. Is there a death metal band called Mortuary?
Yeah.
And they've got this song called Slaughterhouse that I think is a tribute to the first movie. And I fucking died laughing when I heard it because it sounds almost exactly like the Dead Pit on the Road death metal song. Does like the vocals and everything. So anybody that wants to check it out, I think it is Mortuary was the name of the band. Slaughterhouse is the name of the song. Look that up, and that dude's voice is just like, so I was like marking out. I was like, holy shit. But yeah, they redid the credit scenes, and I don't know why. You know, what was this on? I know it wasn't on the Vinegar Syndrome release that they did. Is it Mortician? Okay. Mortician, Mortuary, whatever. But go look it up. It's hilarious.
By the way, for some reason, there's a Civil War reenactment in this fucking movie. Why? I have no idea. I guess it was going on when they made the movie. And they were trying to.
And this movie, the plot is basically the plot of Ernest Goes to Camp. If there's there is a plot in it, it's the plot to Ernest Goes to Camp. Instead of, you know, the camp, they're wanting that this evil developer is wanting to build a golf course on.
That's right.
The Bacon's Ranch. Their car ranch or junkyard or whatever the hell they called it. Oh God. But yeah, the type of movie this is, Wonder Jerky slogan is, you can't beat our meat. And the unveil too, Sherry Lee, who was the lead, I should have gotten this ready too. There's a couple of scenes where she's talking to her pops that died in the first movie, the sheriff from the first, and now she's sheriff of wherever they're at, Cow Pie City or whatever the hell it's called. And the acting, I just really want to know what you would do in this situation, pops. I want to make you proud, pops. I should have gotten that scene ready, but like she's talking to him on a rock. A plaque is on a rock. Like, I don't know if they tried to say that he was buried.
He buried him inside a fucking rock. He's like, I gotta get you out of here. Chisel this rock.
But man, let me tell you something. Both of these are bad, But Slaughterhouse 2 Death Metal is a different level of bad. Like, this is one of the worst.
On a short list of some of the worst films I've ever seen. Like, it's that bad, man.
And it's like I was saying earlier, like the technology, because you're seeing all these movies, like not only on the Tubi, you know, the Tubi originals, but like the Hallmark Christmas movies and Lifetime original movies and all that. They're making them so cheap, so quickly, you know, none of them are good. They don't spend enough time on them.
No, and that's another case, too, where I don't think they rehearsed anything. I'm not positive they had a script, although there's long monologues. They maybe had a script for this one because there's these long monologues that don't go anywhere of just people talking about these land deals and stupid shit and all this stuff. So maybe they did, but it just doesn't have any impact on the story.
I wanted to ask you this, too. Is Rick Roessler a big fan of the Texas Chainsaw Netflix movie in this? Because Sherry Lee was really forth her best Mick Garris impression in this. So there are some similarities there, for sure.
She was Sally Hardesty, for sure.
Yeah.
In this.
There's a lull in this movie, too. Because, again, this is like an 84-minute movie. 85 minutes. The last 30 minutes of this damn movie was almost like somebody taking fucking pliers to your nutsack or something. Like, I'm like, God.
Well, okay. This is the difference to me between Mutilator 2 and Slaughter. So the last 30 minutes of Mutilator 2 is just nonstop wall-to-wall like death scenes, right? Which are actually, some of them are kind of good. So I was at least entertained by the end of them. The end of this movie is just that dumbass kid driving around, walking around with a flamethrower shooting it up in the air, talking or grunting or whatever the hell he does.
He don't talk.
Yeah.
Couldn't they make him look just like Buddy, though? Like, he just looks like a generic little, like, fucking, I don't know, pussy.
You know who he reminded me of is that kid from Return to Sleepaway Camp. It's the same type of like
look, yeah,
goofy ass, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's impossible to watch, man. Like there are parts of it I just had to like skim through. It was only like what, 90 minutes maybe, and it felt like it went on for hours.
It was, yeah, easily of the two, this is easily the worst movie. Neither one were very good. But we're going to check them and see what the chat says here in a little bit. And people in the, I don't think too many people in the chat enjoyed either of these movies. And Movie 80 says it's a cruel summer for real.
I actually feel bad that anybody watched these movies. Like, I feel partially responsible if you did watch them. Because I feel like that was probably a waste of your life.
It's all our fault. So yeah. We still have Mutilator 2, 22%. Slaughterhouse 2, 9%, and 69% says don't watch either movie ever. So neither one this week on the Slashback episode. I mean, these movies are along the lines of the Return to Sleepaway Camp, but I would say that without having to rewatch that, because I don't want to see it, I think that more time was taken than... Honestly, like Slaughterhouse 2, to me, it seemed like they made that entire movie in like 2 weeks, max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the cover of it looks like shit. It does. You look at the cover, it looks just like.
Pull the poster. Can you pull the poster up?
Yeah, we'll I've got it. Hold on.
It does. It looks awful.
Let me see if I can.
They didn't even try to do a throwback to the original poster, which. Although it's a ripoff of Madman, it's still a good looking poster.
So I can make this somewhat bigger somehow.
And stay tuned.
Okay, hold on.
We are going to go over what next week's show is going to be here in just a little bit. It's going to be a lot better, I think, than this.
I'm not even sure if this kid is the same fucking kid, by the way, that's in the movie. But look.
Nobody knows what a killer looks like.
Is that the same kid?
I can't tell. Doesn't seem like it. I'd love to know what motherfucker gave that movie 4 stars. Matadero Productions.
I think they just put 4 stars up there.
Okay. Like, it doesn't say anybody. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that was anybody did that. So that's fucking.
That's just art.
Nobody that looks at that would ever watch that movie. If anything, you would not want to watch that if you didn't even know what it was.
But he's got a flamethrower, Bulls. It's bound to be great.
Anyway.
Richard Fitzwell has a super chat. The sequel to Thanksgiving was awful. Well, that's not new. It's been out a while, right?
I don't know.
Thanksgiving 3, I think, is the sequel. They skipped the second one, which is kind of funny. But let's see. So next week, Uncle Bill, this is one that Uncle Bill, he kind of handpicked this one. It's his week. So you tell him.
So I was kind of like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, after we go through all this, you know, with having to watch these two movies, let's just take it back and watch something that, you know, we know and love at least. But there's a twist to this one as well. So most of the people that are on here probably know these two films, but we're going for the bizarre slasher trope. And the bizarre slasher films in question for the next Cruel Summer Slashback are going to be Pieces and Tourist Trap.
Booyaka booyaka. Look at that now.
Yeah.
And this will be fun because I don't know how much we've even talked about either of these movies together, at least. So I'm a big fan of, I like Tourist Trap to me is still an underrated movie. It doesn't get referenced enough. And Pieces is a fun one too. So this is going to be the bizarre slasher week next week. We promised you we would go back to that. You know, it was late 70s, early 80s. Era that man, Tourist Trap, Tanya Roberts around this time period, man, tough to beat, very tough to beat.
Oh yeah.
And I'm a big Chuck Connors fan as well. Anything that motherfucker ever was in was always captivating.
I just feel like that movie, he is so good in that movie, and we'll talk about it in detail next week, but like, he doesn't really get the credit that he deserves for like a lot of those roles that he played outside of, you know, the TV system and everything, the TV shows. He was fantastic in that, but that movie will never have a wide following because it's so bizarre, man, that people would just, I don't know.
And it's interesting to watch too, though, with Tourist Trap, because essentially the House of Wax remake from 2005 is more or less a Tourist Trap remake.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think? I mean, it's more of a Tourist Trap remake than it is a House of Wax remake. So if you like, a lot of people like that movie. If you've never seen Tourist Trap and you like the House of Wax 05, I would highly recommend checking Tourist Trap out. And that's one of those movies too, that I think is yet to receive a proper remastered special edition on home video. I know that fucking Full Moon has it. I don't know if they'll ever give it up, but I would love to see a big studio do a proper, you know, 4K edition of that.
And Pieces is a movie, man, where like it's simultaneously got some great gore gags in it, but also has some of the wildest shit that comes out of like nowhere throughout the film that it just ranks up there really, really high with, you don't even know what the hell you've watched after you've watched it.
Yep. So again, next week, Tourist Trap and Pieces on the Slashback. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also want to hype this up too, man. Coming up in October, we're going to be up in Buffalo area in New York for the Buffalo Horror Garage Sale. They've been doing this show for many years, Uncle Bill, but only this is the only second show where they've had guests, and they invited us up there as guests to be at that show. So I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, yeah, bulls.
Buffalo Horror Garage Sale.net is the site. Get your tickets for weekend passes, like $20. What the hell is that going to get you at like a big horror convention?
I mean, nothing now.
I don't know.
I don't know if you get like a two bottles of water and a
yeah. So
I don't know.
Get your tickets for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And stay tuned, man. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. We got a massive review show that we're probably going to do in a week or two. Because we got tons and tons and tons of stuff. Imprint just sent us like six different things. So I don't know how we're going to do that. But lots of stuff coming up, Uncle Bill. Lots of exciting announcements to come this summer. Everybody get your bird ready.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, we're actually, like, really looking forward to the Buffalo Horror Garage sale. I think that that guy genuinely has got the right idea, which is that he sees, like, where this whole business is going with the convention things and, like, how impossible it is anymore for anybody that's just a regular person that doesn't have $1,000 over a weekend to spend, you know, to do these anymore. And he's got the right idea. I mean,
I think so too. I mean, this is more or less a horror garage sale with some guests as well. I know Tom Savini, Michael Felcher is going to be there. William Ragsdale. There may be something Fright Night 2 happening that weekend as well. We'll see. But it's going to be a big time, man. I hope everybody up in the Northeast, we've never done anything up in that area, so we're looking forward to maybe seeing people come out for it and show your support and everything. And, you know, who knows? We may get invited back at some point.
Yeah. Also, real quick, Wet Beef.
Good old Wet Beef. What about those AI videos? God almighty.
There's already been like 10 of them from that one show. I got to ask, though, real quick. Rambo, have you seen these?
He needs to. Somebody needs to request these if he hasn't reviewed them yet.
Yeah, he really needs to see these, I feel like.
Especially Slaughterhouse 2, Death Metal. I think it's hilarious they felt the need to call it death metal as well.
Yeah.
There you go. He's never seen him, so send your requests in, folks.
Get him in now.
Slaughterhouse 2 death metal. But I guess that is it. You got anything you want to mention on here?
No. I guess when we come back on Friday to do the he says thanks. We come back on Friday to do the next episode of Friday Night Lives, we'll be doing the summer blockbusters thing. So that'll be,
well, now he told me that it was Aliens or something. So I don't know. You can do the summer blockbuster. You got to figure it out. Aliens commentary or whatever y'all doing.
Shit. I don't know. I thought we were doing that.
I don't know either. Y'all figure it out. Friday Night Lives. There'll be something going on. So, all right, guys, but we appreciate it, and we will catch you guys next time over at deadpit.com. Big thanks goes out to our supporters over at Deadpit on Patreon.com. You can get hours upon hours of great content, right, Uncle Bill?
There's so many hours of content. We've got reviews. We've got songs. We've got live streams. We've got exclusive streams. We've got non-exclusive streams. We've got streams with all kinds of celebrities and all kinds of different old shows from the past podcast, the initial incarnation of the show. All of that can be yours.
Dead Pit on Patreon.com. Show us a little bit of love. Give us some money because we definitely deserve it. That Patreon page is so killer that you'll rub your bird to it on a nightly basis. It's that good.
You won't be able to contain yourself. You'll have to jerk your bird out and go crazy. I mean, that's how much content that we have. So much content that it's massive, and it will massively smack you in the face.
You'll play with your bird so much, pretty soon you'll be looking around for somebody else's bird to play.
everybody, it's your favorite Filipino bitch, Miss Slatko Fudd, telling you about shop.deadpith.com. Simply the best horror shirts on TeePublic. There are others, but they all suck. And it's the best goddamn deal on horror shirts you will ever see. New shirts, old shirts, all the in-between shirts. God damn it, bulls, go over the shop. deadpit.com. You ain't down with that. You can go to fuck. Good hell.